verses, chapter 4. The Lord spurred this search that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning out of Genesis 4 and verse 25, I think is the first one, yeah. And it was a particular wording that caught my eye, and it reminded me of something that the Holy Spirit had shared with me a long time ago. So we're going to just start there, Genesis 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. All right, so we'll just hold right there. I'm sure most of you know the story, but the story is basically based on Cain and Abel, and Cain and Abel were born to Adam and Eve, and they were their first sons. And when it came time to offer offerings to the Lord, God accepted Abel, but not Cain. And most of you have heard me share on this before, that it wasn't a rejection or an acceptance of the person of one or the other, but it says that he had respect unto their sacrifice. And Abel offered basically the firstlings of the flock, a lamb. And Cain offered what he could grow with his hands out of the earth. Two separate kind of offerings, but one of them representing Christ crucified, and the other one representing some other things. And in this case, not representing the thing it needed to. God was looking for his son in the form of Christ crucified. Anyway, the end result of that was that Cain got upset with Abel, not because Abel did anything to him, but because God accepted him and slew Abel. And so this little portion here is taking place after that had happened. And the she here is Eve. So let's read it again. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. That was that little phrase, another seed instead of Abel, is what caught my eyes here and started this search as the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And so I want to, and I'm not going to go through so many scriptures. A lot of times I use a lot of scriptures. I'm going to hope the Holy Spirit reminds you of scriptures as we go here. But there is this truth, this New Testament truth, and that is in the Gospels, when Jesus came, he came as a single man. Okay, let's see. Make sure we know this is Jesus. Yeah, no, a little halo. You know, the artist back then used to put a halo on him, and you don't have any mention of that in the scriptures, you know, so everybody goes, hey, it's Jesus, you know. There's none of that, you know. It was anyway, but he came to earth as a man. And he walked this earth as a man. And his title was called, and you remember this, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten son. Only. Okay, everybody see that? Only. This is the only one. And Jesus used the scripture in John 12:24, that except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if that seed dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. So when he walked the earth, he was the only one of his kind. There was nobody else that had that nature, that spirit, that was like him. All had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so So most of us are first introduced to what I'll just term in the scriptures do also, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus came, and he, they would ask him and things like that, and he would tell them he came to give his life, a ransom. He came to die, to offer himself so that there would be more after his kind. And I know I can get this out of here. It's my little thing that Joseph gave me. My mustache gets messed up sometimes. I have to use my switchblade. Thank you, sir. And so what we do, our introduction to Jesus is really Jesus of Nazareth, the guy that walked the earth, the guy that, and that he went and died. And that's fine, that's good up to a point, but the truth is, and this is sometimes hard for people to believe, in the full sense of the word, that Jesus died, okay? Jesus died, okay? And Jesus as a single entity, as an individual person, went to the cross and he died. And Jesus in that form and in that understanding will never be again. Just messing with you here, just trying to get you to think. Never be again. Because, and here's why, because when he rose from the dead, he didn't rise as an individual, and so we usually draw a circle representing Christ risen. He rose not as the only begotten Son. The only begotten Son died. Okay? And after that, after the Gospels, you never hear him referred to as the only begotten Son again. You have names like the firstborn among many brethren, the new man. Okay, so this was Jesus as he walked the earth, and he was a single man. But the new man is still Jesus, but it's us in him now. Okay, and that's the truth. It is this reality to us. We are in Christ. We're bone of his bone. So you could draw, I could draw a picture of a man here and all the members, all the little fingers and everything and say, that's us. Or you can draw it like this. It's a lot easier since I'm not a great artist. Anyway, so this reality is that his body now is many-membered, and that's us. And he will never, ever, ever just be a single entity again. We will always be connected with him. Always, forever and ever and ever, okay? So, so a lot of people, they're still worshiping this Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, not the resurrected Jesus that's alive right now. They're still worshiping this singular guy. And they when they go to him like in the Gospels, which is fine, except for something happened between the Gospels and the epistles, the letters of the New Testament. And that was the cross happened. Jesus went to the cross. And that changed everything for him and for you and for me, but on a basis that we don't understand. So what we do is in our understanding, we come to this Jesus and, I'll just make us... little tiny people here going, oh, praise you, Jesus, you know. I guess I should lift these arms up. Praise you, Jesus. And so, yes, you're everything and, all that. Well, we still worship him, but there's a different understanding supposed to be understood in our worship and in our relationship with Jesus. We're no longer worshiping the only begotten Son. That Son died, and now when we worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't just worship him because that's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to worship God, okay. And so sometimes we can say, well, I'm worshiping him in spirit right now because you feel something, but the spirit is fine, but you need the truth of this relationship right here that you're not. It would be like if you were down on the earth, like the Jews were, and they're going, oh, God, we worship you and honor you. Well, okay, that was true here. But in reality, we're not supposed to still just think of ourselves as down here. We're supposed to understand that we're bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. In other words, a lot of good work has been done to accomplish that. You know, we are now part of him. We're not separate like this would be, a guy here and Jesus there. We're not separate. We are literally his body. And where does he dwell? In us. Okay? So when we come from this position over here, we're coming as if the cross never happened. We're coming as if the resurrection never happened. We're still worshiping the only begotten, but this in the scriptures, New Testament, this is the Jesus it writes about, the new man. Now we're part of the new man, and this over here is not the old man, but it is Jesus in his old form. And Paul even talks about that in 2 Corinthians, where he says, we no longer know Jesus after the flesh. Anybody ever read that scripture? What? You know, what does that mean? We no longer know Jesus after the flesh. It means we no longer know him based on the Gospels. We know him based on where we are and who we are in him and who he is to us and in us. And that's a settled relationship. You know, it's like over here, you sin and you go, oh, I sinned. And you come running to Jesus and say, you forgive me. But over here, if you sin, he's already died for sins. He's not going to go back to the cross. Well, okay, you messed up again. I got to go back to the cross. You know, you've been sending me there a lot lately. But that's not it. That's not it. The forgiveness is here. You're just simply asking for what's already been bought and paid for. You're not earning it. You're not, you know, and I've seen some people, you know, they'll come down to the altar and they go, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. And he's going, hey, dude, I forgave you, okay? It's done. All I want you to do is acknowledge what? Not that this Jesus just goes, okay, I forgive you. I'm Catholic, you know, and I forgive, you know. Okay. I never do that. I'm always, it's like this holy L when I do that. It's supposed to be somehow a cross, but I don't. Yeah, okay, that's. That's enough of that. Anyway, it is as if in our minds almost we're not going to get forgiveness unless we ask, and asking gets the forgiveness, when in reality the cross got the forgiveness. You're just really acknowledging. Right? You're saying, thank you, this Jesus, for dying on the cross, and thank you that I'm in you. And, you know, the scriptures talk about it. I mean, if I've had people come to me for counseling and whatever, and they go, you know, I just have no assurance of salvation. And I said, well, you know, the day that Jesus is knocked off the throne, you can know that you're not saved anymore. But you're seated with him. This is the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. You're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? So the many-membered new man is who we are, and therefore where we pray from and where we understand things are coming from. Okay, so Genesis here. Now let's read that verse again, and you see some things here. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, meaning because Cain had killed Abel, and so they're going to have another son. And she bore a son and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. All right, so let's apply that to what we're talking about right here. What we're talking about is that in a reality, let's just put it like this. I'm going to draw Abel down here. And let's see, Abel was tall, so I'm got to make a difference between Jesus and Abel there. So Cain comes along, and got a machete. He comes along, and he kills his brother, okay? And his brother was a single entity, and so he dies. So it's as if you could say that just if he died in this spot right here, he dies right here. But Seth is another son that is as it were, raised up over here, okay? And that's the way she's talking about it. This is in place of. This is a representative of, but it's one out of death. Just like this son is one out of death. Okay? And now you're going to say, well, where's the many? Well, we'll talk about that because the scriptures talk about that. That this is a picture to us of what was going to come. This is a picture to us of the gospel. This is a picture to us of Christ and him crucified. Because Abel didn't die because he sinned. Abel died because he came unto his own and his own received him not. Right? Oh yeah, that's why Jesus died too. Not because he sinned. And you get that picture all the way through. Joseph, it was his brothers that killed him. You know? So you see a pattern over and over and over in the scriptures where our eyes are supposed to be open and we're supposed to come into a new understanding of who we are, not just living over here as if the cross never happened, as if the resurrection never happened, but living with a new understanding. It's called the renewing of the mind. It's called the renewing of the mind. And so I wrote all this in my Bible, so I remember when I was in Bible school and I was writing in my Bible and somebody says, you can't do that. I said, yeah, look, I did it. You know, they go, no, you can't write on the Bible, it's holy. And I said, it's okay, mine's not. Anyway, so people get real religious over things instead of Jesus. But see, it's not just Jesus is holy over here. We're in him. We are part of him now. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are not recognized as out from him. Our assurance of not just salvation, but everything else is because he made us one. Not because he made us saved. It's because he made us one with him. And if something happens to him, we're in trouble. But God put us in the safest possible place that he could. He put us in Christ. Hallelujah. All right. So that'll keep you from going into depression. Well, some of you. Some of you need to remember this stuff. All right. So Eve is the one talking here because it says... that he knew his wife and had a son and called him Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. Okay, this is interesting wording. Another seed. Didn't say another son or another child or another kid. We had another kid. We have two kids again. It wasn't that at all. It was another seed. Well, where does that come from? Well, it came from over here in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and God shows up. God comes down and he's walking in the garden and they're over there hiding behind their fig leaves. And Eve's already taken on that fallen nature and she turns to Adam and says, does this fig leaf make me look fat? Not really. I don't know where that came from. See, the fall is already kicking in there. And Adam says to her, "What do you mean you don't have anything to wear?" Oh, she likes my jokes. My wife still likes my jokes. Of course, I have to pay her to laugh like that in church.
But
that's it right there. That could have been worth $10 more if you'd have just gone a little longer. But okay, so God comes down and he's walking in, and they're hiding, you know, and God says, "Where are you, Adam and Eve?" As if God doesn't know where they're at, you know, hide and seek, you know. He knows exactly where they are. He's trying to get them to admit where they are, you know, and it's spiritually. And so so this whole thing goes through it where he curses Adam, and Adam, you know, has to raise crops and stuff by the sweat of his brow and all this stuff. And in pain will Eve have childbearing, and he curses the serpent and suppose, you know, I mean, it's basically that he would no longer walk upright or whatever, but he would slither on the ground. And so basically it sounds like the serpent originally walked or something, and he defeated the serpent. Which is a picture of one day when he defeats the serpent. Anyway, and so so he says, but he says this in verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." He's talking to the serpent now. He says, there's going to be a problem between you, devil, and her, and your seed, and her seed. And her seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, so in the middle of all of this failure, and listen carefully to this, in the middle of all this failure, there's a way out. There's a way out. God doesn't put more on you than you can da-da-da-da, but our understanding of that is that, you know, he's going to make sure that it's not too much for me. But he's saying, I've got a way out. But the way out isn't going to get you out of your stuff. It's going to bring forth the glory of God. And our carnal minds don't see that most of the time. We are still in Adam. And we use that phrase a lot. Adam would be a word, that, a name that represented the first man. And actually, that's in Spanish, Adam. Yeah, I'm just covering the whole congregation and all of the different languages. See, even when you make a mistake, God turns it to his glory. That's right. But Adam was his name, but he became the first of everybody that would come forth. So everybody was born in Adam with a fallen nature. When Adam fell, since he was the first man, everybody was going to be after his nature, right? So then everybody has a fallen nature because the first man started the thing wrong, right? And so we also call Adam the fallen nature that we all have that's inside of us, okay? And we sometimes call it the Adamic nature. But it is this tendency towards sin, it is this tendency towards failing God. And my emphasis is more on failing God than it is sin. But both are there because the scriptures say, all have sinned and what else? Come short of the glory of God. Well, that's different than sinning. One is failing, it's almost like going back to the earth. The other one is missing the realities of God. All have sinned, okay? We admit it. We don't always admit that we've come short of the glory that God had in mind or has in mind, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Colossians 1:27, Cristo en ti, la esperanza de gloria. So we come short of that, and we think, well, our only failure is that we've sinned and done something wrong, when in reality the greater sin is without without us being, I keep always do this, we're in Christ, but Christ is in us also, isn't he? When you get born again, you ask Jesus to come into you, you know? So he's in there, so Christ in you is your hope, because you're a failure. And me, we're failures. We mess up. So what hope do we have? Well, the hope I have is one day Jesus will come back, forgive everything, and I'm just living in a mansion and everything's going to be glory. Really, that's your hope? You know? Not Christ. And see, he didn't say Christ in los cielos, Christ in heaven. He says Christ in you. He didn't say Christ walking around in the room going, hey, you know, patting you on the shoulder while you're listening, going, listen to that, you know, or something like that. It's life. It's his life and it's his nature. See, that is our hope. And we love Jesus, but do we love him enough to, as Paul said, not I, but Christ, you know? Not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, so here's this promise of a seed to the woman. Now, I want you to consider something here. There are two terms used here. One is Adam, which again, we refer to the nature of Adam. And the other one is the woman, which in God's mind represents the bride of Christ, that out of us is going to come the seed. Okay, now let's qualify that. Being the bride of Christ is not male or female. It is those who have a heart toward Jesus that is more than just thanks for salvation and, you know, fix my job and do this and make sure I get more money and, you know, my parents have been on my back lately, fix that. And all, you know, it is this passion towards Jesus that is more than just being glad you got saved. Okay? That's, when I refer to the bride of Christ, that's what I'm talking about. Whether that's male or female, there's a heart for the Lord, and it's, everything is more about him than it is about fixing my life down here. I mean, it's like when we have a graduation around here, and I would say to the students, you know, look to the future, because that's where you're going to be living the rest of your life, you know what I mean? You know, it's not that deep. Look to the future, because that's where you're going to be living. Well, look to Jesus, because that's where you're going to be living for eternity, you know? It's a difference of heart. It's a difference of desire. And that desire is towards the Lord. So, the scripture says that she's referring to this seed promise. Now, notice what Adam said. We're going back to 4 now. And Adam knew his wife, and he bore a son, and he called his name Seth. Okay, now, she speaks, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. And he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. What? Anybody notice what that said? I mean, didn't just hear words that rolled out, but... Then when Abel dies, Seth comes forth and he represents a picture of Christ. That's when all of this seed starts coming forth that's calling upon the name of the Lord. Not until then. And until Jesus died, nobody would really call on the name of the Lord in truth. There had to be a death, and the resurrection is Christ. I am the resurrection and the life to us. He's the life within us, and he is our resurrection. The scripture says, when he was raised from the dead, we were raised up and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's all past tense in Ephesians. All of it's past tense, okay? So you see this that Abel represented Christ as the only begotten son, the one that really did love the Lord individually, Nobody else, apparently, there's only one in Cain, but nobody else really was after the Lord like that. So he got slain for it. He got slain for it. But there's a resurrection if the death is not because of your own sins and failures. And that resurrection, Eve is saying, it's Seth. It's Seth. And from this son, it's going to be like Jesus in resurrection. There's going to be all these who start calling upon the name of the Lord. It's going to be a whole nother relationship now with God. Okay? I have to look at my notes again because I wrote them all down here. All right. So you remember over, I think it's chapter 1. You can turn there real quick. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over it. But anyway, the part I wanted to read was, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. So when God originally instituted this thing, he wanted us to all be in his image and likeness. Can I get an amen? Amen. He wanted us to be not just Christian, not just saved, more importantly, not just saved. You know, all I want, you know, can you hear Jesus? All I want is for you to be saved. The first thing that brought man into existence was God wanted us to be in his image. All right. But Adam and Eve sinned, and so Adam was now the first man of a whole new creation that was not in his image, right? All right. So you get that in chapter 5. In verse 3, it's still in Genesis. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Okay, now this is important because, number one, the word son here is in italics. He just begets after his own image. That's what he does. Adam does that. All right, so we're going to have a contrast. Let me do this. All right, we're going to take another quick look at some of this from a little different angle. I'm just trying to come up with this stuff right now, but we'll just do it like this. God made Adam and Eve one, right? Okay, so we're going to draw that one that's right here. They're one, okay? Adam only brings forth after his kind now, after the fall. The Adamic nature only brings forth after its kind, okay? But Eve represents something of God, and he implanted a promise. And a promise of a seed, not just a promise of salvation, but a seed. So her view of things is going to be completely different. See? So you have that here. You have, when it talks about Adam, bringing forth after his kind, more and more fallen people into the earth. But you have Eve going, there's a promised seed, and it's going to bring forth something. It's going to actually bring forth many, right? And from that time forth, people began to call upon the name of the Lord because she was holding on to the promise, because she still received from God and she had faith in the Lord, not in herself. Even though she was the one who partook in all of that kind of stuff, she's with the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
She is with the Lord, but Adam's just Adam. Our old nature's just its old nature, and it's always going to be its old nature. All right. So let me draw this just a little bit different here. Let's do it kind of like this. All right. We're going to refer to the outer circle here. We're going to refer to it as the old man, okay? Which is the old nature. Which is the fallen nature, which is Adam. which is the Adamic nature, right? All of that, same thing. We're going to put in the center here, we're going to put, I'm just going to call it the renewed mind. And this circle and what's inside of it represents us. Okay? So in us, now we know that the old man is dead, but if our mind is not renewed, we still think like the old man. The scriptures say the old man is dead. But we still have thoughts, some of us do. Anybody? Contrary to the truth? Well, that's why the scriptures tell us that we have to be renewed. And it says, like in Ephesians 4, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, not just to have new information. There's a new reality. All right. So that being accepted for what it is, in other words, the old man is not alive, but the realities and the way that he sees things can still be that way. All right. So if we make this us, if we make this our life and the way that we see things, there can be two different views of the same thing. Okay. So let's put the cross here. the old, let me just call this the old man mind. Okay. The old man mind can look at that cross and see it one way, but the renewed mind can look at it and see it a completely different way. All right, so keep your place here in Genesis, but let's go to Acts, and it's Acts chapter 2. Okay, Acts chapter 2. And verse 22 through 24. And this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, okay? The first real sermon after Jesus has been risen from the dead and after his crucifixion. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man appeared, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Okay, so you can see here that there can be two views of the cross. At the same moment that Jesus died, you can look at that and say, you know, you can look at the two men on either side of him, and one of them is cursing him and saying, if you're really the Son of God, you ought to do this and that. And you had the Pharisees walking by, and they're saying all this junk, you know, and accusing and all of this. And they've beat him. They've done all of this stuff to him. And with that view, you can go, oh, my God, it's horrible. Right? This is horrible. This is a horrible event. But this scripture also says that from God's point of view, from his point of view, this was determined in foreknowledge. He knew and set it up that Christ would come and die for us. And to God, he's not going, well, this is the end of the world. He knows he's going to raise him from the dead. And he knows the end result of that is, Christ's going to be formed in us. We're going to be born again. We're going to be one family, all this kind of stuff. Two different views. Do you see from the view of God or do you see from the view of man? Now, and I, you know, I remember looking at the scriptures in, I forget, probably all the Gospels, where Jesus was hanging on the cross, and Mary is there and John is there, and, you know, they're weeping at the cross, and they're going, oh, oh, this is horrible. What, you know, Mary, what they've done to my child. And, you know, John, you know, they messed up our ministry now. You know, we were going to have a really cool ministry. And, you know, now they messed that up. And, you know, everybody's weeping and crying and everything. But guess what? If they had have had eyes from a renewed mind, they could have literally stood there while he's hanging there and going, oh, my God, this is the greatest moment in all time. This is the culmination of all that God has ever done, said, and planned. This is the answer to all of the world's ill. This is, couldn't they? If they really saw with a renewed mind, they would have seen like we do. You know, and Paul said, God forbid that I glory anything except in the cross. I remember when I was first born again, I'm going, why are you glorying in the cross? They killed Jesus. That was their motive. Remember what we read right here? You by wicked hands did this, but God planned the whole thing, and God raised him from the dead, and glory to God, right? But it was his death that paid the penalty for our sins, not his resurrection. If he never died, you know what I mean? So there's this thing about viewing things, how we view things, and how we can see things. So let's just take it in a situation of us just living on a daily basis. How do we view things? How do we see things? Do we, for example, Adam and Eve, you know, how did they see things? Eve saw it as, well, this looks like a death and a resurrection to me. But Adam probably thought, well, because he's still bringing forth Adam after his kind, right? So there's no real seeing there. God says to Abraham, offer your son, your only son, the son whom thou lovest. He goes up there to offer him, got the knife and everything. And God said, I just wanted to know if you were like me in spirit. Like, this was a lot pertaining to the Father. That if you were the same kind of father I am, that's why I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Not because I think I'm going to choose you to just be the father of, you know, I don't know, I like you, buddy. No, he was like God in the sense of he was willing to lay down the son that he loved, trusting God. And the scripture says in Hebrews, trusting that God was able, Abraham trusted God that he was able to raise him from the dead. That's the story. That's the reality. That's what God wants us to get. So Abraham is after the, you know, we always see the son there and everything, but it's really the father thing because Abraham, everything about him was being a father. His first name was Abram, and God changed it to Abraham. Abram meant father of a multitude, I think. No, glorious father. But then after that reality, God foresaw that he was going to have the same heart, the same selflessness, the same trust, the same vision, so that when he got into circumstances, he wasn't seeing by his flesh. Okay, so I'm not sure what else. Okay, so for us, there is this potential for getting into situations and just freaking out all the time. Oh, this is terrible. God, take this away. Oh, this is not God. The cross didn't look like it was God either. Abel's death didn't look like it was God either. We have all of these situations and all of this stuff that arises that doesn't look like God. Well, what if God could be in that or would be or is, but you never see it? And all you do is you say, it's, you know, everything's the devil. It's the devil. Well, what if we could literally have our minds renewed to such a degree that by our faith, like Eve holding on to Abel, and by doing that, the scriptures even says of Abel, says his blood even speaks now. He's not gone. He's still speaking to us. See? There's eternity in all of this stuff. But we never, you know, I'll wait till eternity. Folks, you have eternal life now. His name's Jesus. You know, for those who, you know, never seen me draw it, I mean, eternal life is life without beginning. There is no beginning, okay? There's no starting point. It was from eternity all the way to the on, you know, eternal life without beginning and without end. Your life had a beginning. If nothing else, you started in, you know, 19 da da da. You know, that had a beginning. So that's not eternal life. You say, well, I got saved and I'm going to live forever. That's still not eternal life. It had a beginning. Right? Jesus is eternal life. So we get in these situations and we're not plugged into the Lord at all. We're not in, remember the picture I drew of in that resurrection sun? We're not in the sun. We're not drawing from his mind. We're not drawing from his realities. We're just like we were before we weren't saved, except we say, I'm a Christian now. We walk around, we go, oh, look at this. And the only value of God to us is what Jesus of Nazareth did. And then we're still relating to him as Jesus of Nazareth. Fix this and do that. And, you know, heal this and chase that off and da-da-da-da. And the sons of God, man, they go into debt so that resurrection will happen. And they see potential all the time. They see, oh, my God, this is a great opportunity. But the carnal mind does not see those things. All it sees is what would hurt its comfort or take something away from me instead of being given, you know. Give and it shall be given unto you. We go, no, just give unto me. You know, that's the way Jesus' words. Give and it shall be given. We just go, no, just give unto me. Lord, just give unto me. When's the last time you gave? You know. I remember somebody came to me in counseling. They said, Brother Randy, when is my ship going to come in? And I said, did you send one out? You know? What do you mean? Well, you know, anyway, you get the idea. So there's this whole reality of the seed. And so what starts following now is you start getting this the different things of the seed, and you start finding people in here that are of God now because they're coming out of the resurrection seed that's called Seth or the firstborn among many, which is Jesus' name in resurrection. So you start seeing this progression, and then you get down here to you start getting to Enoch. Anybody know anything about Enoch? And Methuselah after him, and then that leads to Noah, and you know, and Shem, Ham, and Bacon. Sorry, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so, verse 18, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Okay? So, Enoch was begotten. This is the guy that it says, and Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, and all the sons and daughters, anyway. And then verse 21, and Enoch lives 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and, okay. So let's go on down to verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Okay? So you have to remember, this is a flow of life that's happening. You have to see it like that. So when it says up here, and Jared lived 100 years and he begot Enoch, you have to remember that Jared was a Jew. So he became a jeweler. And when anyone asked where he bought the jewelry, he said, he went to Jared's. I don't know, that just came to me. I thought it was good. He was a Jew, jeweler. Anyway, never mind. Okay. So the deal with Enoch is, it says he walked with God and was not. That's the goal. There it is. That's the goal. He walked with God and was not, because I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the one who loves by giving himself. Glory to God. So Enoch's walking with God, probably with jewelry all over him because of his dad's business. And he was not. He was taken. Yeah. What's it say? He who dies with the most toys wins. You're still dead. You can't take it with you. So anyway. So Enoch is a form of death and resurrection himself. He's not, but he's with God. He's taken. God's taken him. All right? So then, after this, that's where you start finding out about the earth being filled with vileness and people that are doing stuff. And pink, never mind. And you find all this stuff, but born to Enoch was Methuselah. And Methuselah lived longer than anybody else in the Bible. Y'all knew that, right? Okay. Do you know what Methuselah's name means? When he dies, the end will come. Okay. Now, I've done this. When I was in Bible school, I did this. I started marking the names of people and marking the years, and then da-da-da-da, and then marking where it came and everything. And you know where Methuselah dies? Methuselah's way back here, and you'd be surprised, Adam's still in here, still alive, and a bunch of people, you're just going, oh, what? I thought this is hundreds of years ago. Well, they lived, you know. So anyway, so Methuselah goes the longest, and he gets down here, and when he dies, Noah walks into the flood, into the ark. You check it out. It's got the numbers there. You say, I hate math. Well, don't check it out. But it's there. And I looked it up. And I went through it. And I went, oh, my God. It's perfect. All right. So when he dies, the end will come. That's just like Jesus. You go, what? 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 Okay. The old man, the old creation, was taken to the cross. And you and I are not going to die with Jesus. We're crucified and we've died with him. But we've been raised up into a new creation. Okay? So that death of Jesus dealt the true blow to everything. It defeats the devil. You may not. What does the scripture say? It's Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The old man. Know ye not? Da 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 da. The old man. Everything. You go through the whole thing. It's already the answer. The cross is the answer, but we're still waiting for the answer to come in clouds. And Christ crucified is the answer, and he wants us to wake up, and he wants us to start seeing through these eyes of a renewed mind and living according to the risen the crucified Christ who God raised, who is our life. So that we, when we get in all these situations, we go, you know, well, this is a terrible situation. What's going to happen? We start praying according to the carnal mind. We start praying according to our wants and needs. We start praying according to the earth. We start praying according to temporal circumstances that are freaking our temporal life out. Instead of going, Holy Spirit, give me dove's eyes. And, you know, I'll explain this. But my version of dove's eyes, where it talks about that in the Song of Solomon, is eyes enlightened by the Holy Spirit to see Jesus, to see Christ and Him crucified, to see Jesus, not just dove's eyes. I don't know what that is. I don't even know what that would be. But it is to see Jesus. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see Jesus. Pretty plain to me. So I read this story. I'm looking at this story with Cain and Abel. And I'm going, oh, what a tragedy. You know, there's only one good kid in the earth and somebody kills him. Of course, there are only two kids in the earth at the time. But anyway, you know, and that's the way, you know, we could do that. And if we do that with that, or we do that in our situations, then if we were there at the cross, we'd be looking at the cross going, oh, we really thought this thing was going to work out. And we void out everything that Jesus has bought and paid for by his death. Yeah.
Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through the dead he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is hell.
That's right. There it is. All right. So basically, I just want to pray for you. And I want to pray that that in our searching and in our hearts turning to the Lord, we will ask God to work in such a manner that our minds begin to be renewed unto Him, so that we might see Him and see the truth that He can live and work through His death in our lives, instead of just living as regular people on the planet and not having any clue that there is a way of escape. It is the revelation of Christ. There is, but we never see that. We never see that avenue, and so we miss it, and we miss how many times a day or how many times a week do we miss the opportunity to go with the Lord and really see the truth and walk in joy and victory. Not that everything changes and it gets good. The victory is in you. The victory is this, even if it be a death, is going to bring forth life. But the deaths that we see around us and that we mourn, and I'm not talking about people dying or physical death, but the deaths we see around us and mourn, our mourning is making that a death out of which there'll be no resurrection, because we're not acknowledging the seed in it. We're just making it a temporal circumstance, and for us it will be a temporal circumstance. Redeem the time. Redeem this. Redeem, you know, bring an offering and put it into that situation according to the way they used to. Instead of just praying and going, this is bad, and living as if Jesus of Nazareth is still alive and we're just running after him. Jesus, Jesus, touch me. Instead of Jesus, I am in you and you are in me. And, you know, reveal this situation. And may I be a part of the death and resurrection that brings forth your glory in the earth. Anyway, let's stand together. If you can stand. Father, we love you and we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. Not Randy's teaching, not anyone else's. But we thank you for the Holy Spirit who breathes life. And we want Jesus, and we want to see circumstances in light of his eyes. We want to be so one with him. We call it bride, but it's so one with him that we're his body, that we see out his eyes. And we don't see things in a temporal way. We see things the way he sees them. We don't see what's going on as a power struggle between God and the devil, because the devil doesn't have a chance if that was the case. But we see things in light of death, burial, and resurrection, in light of the Spirit of Christ crucified, the Spirit of the Lamb, and we redeem those things. And somebody may be an ass in our life, and we redeem that ass with a lamb. Lord, that's what the Scripture says in the Old Testament. Instead of trying to turn him into a thoroughbred horse. Father, help us to awaken to reality as you know it. Eternal reality as you know it. Why would we wait and wait and wait when we can enter in? Why would we act like the veil's still shut when we can enter in? Hallelujah. And Lord, you told us to boldly come in. So help us to see what that means and how that works. And no words that I can give will explain it. But may, Holy Spirit, you stir our hearts to a new level of hunger and desire and a pressing in more and not slackening up at all, but having that passion for Jesus, above all things, a passion for Jesus and his glory and all that we say, do, think, and everything, so that Christ may be all and in all. Father, grant it, because it's already been bought and paid for. It's already been bought and paid for. We seem to be waiting on you to do something, and you're waiting on us to lay hold of what you've done already. So, Father, we trust you. Our faith is in the seed, not in ourselves. And we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be blessed, Father. Be blessed, Jesus. Be blessed, Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, greet one another, and we're dismissed.